Well, this morning, what I want to do is share with you something that sort of been on my heart, something that I've done this past week, something I would invite you to do this morning. Very simple. Consider God's plan. Think of that for a moment. God's plan. As you do, even as you begin to do that, I would ask you, what thoughts, what ideas, what begins to fill your mind as you think on, make your mind to dwell on, as you begin to consider just two relatively simple words, God's plan. Maybe there's a bit of intimidation. Always the question that seems to arise when we consider God's plan, what's God's plan for me? Am I living in that? Maybe for many of us in the room, even now as we think on God's plan, that's maybe the first thought that comes to our mind. What's God's plan for me? What's God's plan for me today? What's God's plan for me tomorrow? What's God's plan? This stage in my life, where I'm at in life, what's God's plan for me? Am I living in His plan for me? Maybe the little bit of intimidation, if you will, that comes from this well-known verse of Scripture. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. This plan of mine, says the Lord, is not what you would work out. My thoughts, my ways are not your thoughts or your ways. That's how we're most familiar with that verse. Very simply, God thinks and God works and God plans very unlike us. Maybe it's a little bit the intimidation of God's plan that we could not understand. We still don't understand. God, I don't get it. I don't understand why your plan had to include this for me. Why your plan for me, for my life, for my family had to look like this and go in this particular direction. Maybe, though, with that verse, we consider another sort of God's plan verse, if you will. Again, very familiar. And probably for many of us, even a favorite, Jeremiah 29, 11, you know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The message says it this way. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Aren't you glad for that? That He has a plan for your life, for my life, for New Life, for this church, for our world and the seeming chaos of it. He has it all planned out. I know the plans I have for you, plans to take care of you, plans to prosper you. Listen now, no plan to abandon you. Listen, be encouraged this morning. Forget the bad news of the world. Hear the good news of Scripture. He has no plans to abandon you. No plans to harm you. Plans to give you instead a hope and a future. Again, from the message which sort of combines the hope and the future. Plans to give you the future you hope. What else? What do you think of? What fills your mind as you begin to consider His plan? This morning, this is what we do together. More specifically, in this context, we consider this of God's plan. It's good. Even really better to say, His plan is perfect. Can I encourage you this morning, as we think, as we consider, as we set our minds to dwell on for a few minutes, God's plan, will you set this as the foundation? Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe it's not your plan, his ways, his thoughts, not your own. But would you settle this in your heart and your mind? His plan is good. His plan is perfect. As a testimony of your faith, would you say amen to that? His plan is good. His plan is perfect. Would you remember that tomorrow when his plan seems to turn your life upside down? When you come from a Tuesday and you wonder, God, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are you doing for this state? What in the world are you doing? Are you doing anything for our nation? And you don't understand it and you can't make sense of it. Would you fall back on this? His plan is good. His plan is perfect. Consider that in the context of sort of a few of the big things of life, if you will, if I can call them that. This message was really initially birthed as I begin to consider God's plan related to creation. This past week, I had a couple of early mornings out in the dark before even light could be seen on the far horizon. A couple of the days, by choice, I had opportunity to be in the hunting stand. And I like going out early, way too early. Can't see clearly to shoot anything if anything happened to walk by. But I like to be sitting, and I like to have been sitting for a while before it begins to get light outside. So I'm sitting in the hunting stand and just happen to be able to look up at the sky. Wow. They were clear nights, clear mornings, and the moon was bright and full, and the stars shining. It was just amazing. And then sitting out there, the woods sort of begin to wake up. You begin to hear the birds, and the squirrels begin to move. I hunt in kind of a unique situation that I can detect. I know for a fact there are cows, there are goats, there are chickens, and it seems they are all around me. Because you begin to hear the cows bellowing and the goats doing what they do and making all the noise they make and the roosters crowing and all the rest as the woods come alive. And it's just a sense of, wow, this is amazing. I don't like getting up early. It's not a Tanner trait to get up early in the morning. But once I do it and I'm sitting out there, there's just this sense of, wow, God's creation. You know that on Tuesday, we were at the voting precinct. Many of you know this. Jenny and I, a number of years ago, got connected with Genesee Township, just a weird thing, with the clerk of Genesee Township, and was made aware of the need to help during voting. And so we began to help on voting day. And so early Tuesday morning, we were at the voting precinct. I think we were there 5:45, 5:50, just before 6 o'clock, still plenty dark. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. I don't know how long it was visible, but on Tuesday morning was the eclipse, the sort of blood moon. And we stood outside, a few of us came outside, and at least from where we were at, though I've heard that from most any place, just as clear as can be as you watch the moon turn this orange reddish color, and it was just this, again, this wow. I guess in a sense it was all sort of in line with Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Again, this sense of awe and wonder, and with it this thought, wow, what God does is good. Doesn't he even say the same? Doesn't he express the same at creation? The heavens, the earth, the water, the land, the creatures that inhabit both. At the conclusion of each creative act, his own words, this is good. He saw that it was good. Can I remind you of that? God's good. What God does is good. Listen, God's plan. What God plans, how God plans, the fulfillment of God's plans, it's good. Creation says it is. Man, with whom God could have relationship, fellowship, a woman for the man, a helper, so that he would not be alone, a world of most amazing creation over which man would rule and have dominion. What a plan. Listen, isn't it true? What a great creator God is. Perfect. Isn't it true? His creation, literally every aspect of it, absolutely breathtaking. What a plan. All of it. From day one's light and dark, day and night, to day seven's rest. What a plan. What a good plan. Of course it was, because it's his plan. He's good, and what he does is good. What he plans, how he plans, the fulfillment of his plans, all good. He created and he saw that it was good, and now thousands of years later, we see his creation and we're declaring, oh, it's good. From creation, consider God's plan related to salvation. In the garden, sin stains God's perfect creation, brings death to it, to all humanity, to all the world. The wages of sin is death, after all. Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed. They rebelled against God. He's the creator of it all, but they believed the devil's lie, that they knew what's best for his creation, for how the life he gives is to be lived out. He's the creator. He's God. But they believed the devil's lie, that to them belonged his rule and his power and his authority. And they, by the taking of the fruit, sought to usurp it all. Take it all from him and make it their own. I tend to believe that really nothing has changed since then. Their sin in the garden, it's the same sin of our day. Consider it in the context of some of the hot topics of our day. Do you understand that God is the author of life? So do you understand that abortion is usurping from God his authority, his rule? No, God. You don't get to decide that. You don't get to decide life. I do. I rule and reign over this. Do you understand it in the context of transgenderism? Do you understand? God knits together in the womb. And transgenderism is nothing more than a usurping of God's authority. You don't get to decide for me. I decide for me. You're not the boss. I'm the boss. Do you understand in the context of marriage what God has brought together? Let no man separate. And God brings together man and woman. Do you understand? Living together, adultery, divorce, gay marriage. It's all an attempt to usurp from God, to take from God the authority, the power, the rule, and the reign that is his. He might be the creator, but he's not in charge of this. I am. I decide. Listen, in any disobedience, here's the reality. We do the same. We take from God his authority, his rule and reign. We make it to be our own. What he tells you to do, how he tells you to live, the way you're to treat others. No. He doesn't have the right not to tell me how to do and how to live. Never mind him. Never mind what he says. It's up to me. It's my decision. It's my choice. He doesn't have the authority over me. I do. I have the authority. You understand the problem of sin? Wouldn't you cringe at the thought of somebody verbalizing that way? Someone literally saying, God doesn't have the power. God doesn't have the authority. God doesn't rule. God doesn't reign. I do. Wouldn't your encouragement be, oh, don't say that? Or at least, let me step away before you say it again, lest I become guilty by way of association with what you're saying and what you're professing. Listen, by the actions of our sins, it's exactly what we say. So let me tell you this morning, don't do that. Don't by your actions say that. No wonder God is so against. No wonder God so despises. Listen to the words of Scripture. It might change a little bit your perspective on God, who is love. But no wonder God so hates the proud. Be humble today. God gives grace. Really, it's grace upon grace, grace and more grace to the humble. Be humble today so that you can receive grace today. Let him be Lord over it all, over everything in your life. Sin, rebellion in the garden, and the plan is lost. An unfixable failure, except that it's not. Because even for the sin and even for the rebellion, God has a plan. In response to the deception of the serpent, a prophetic word, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head." You will bruise his heel, serpent, but he will crush your head. For the sin, for the rebellion, God has a plan. Oh, it's a good plan, a perfect plan. The offspring of the woman, born in Bethlehem's stable, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus, who takes those far off, who takes those in rebellion against God, who takes those that were his enemies, Jesus takes them and makes them to be sons and daughters. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Peter brings clarity to that message that originated in the garden in 1 Peter chapter 1. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him." For the sin and for the rebellion, God has a plan. Oh, aren't you glad that he does? Listen, for your sin, for all you've done that declared to God, "The power is mine, not yours. The authority is mine, not yours. I'm the boss, not you. I decide for me, you don't." For all you've done that was disobedience and rebellion and sin against him, he has a plan. Don't you know it to be true? Had he not a plan, oh, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. No one righteous, not even one. Had he no plan, we're destined for an eternity separated from him. We're destined for an eternity in hell. But he did have a plan. He does have a plan. His name is Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." Don't you know God's word? And don't you know the sin not to do? Don't you understand the admonition of Scripture? You know it full well. To live in holiness and righteousness and purity, and to talk right and to think right and to be right, to live right. All of it we know. We understand it all. We understand the things that God doesn't want us doing. We understand the things God does want us doing. And don't you understand? All too often we fail miserably at both. We know not to sin. We get it. We get the message. Don't sin. I know. Stop sinning. I know. I hear you, Pastor. I hear your word. I know. I'm not supposed to sin. I don't live in sin. I don't do sin. And yet all of us understand what it is to make a mess of a situation, make a mess of a moment. do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say. My dear children, I write this to you so you won't sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Listen, for the sin, for the rebellion of your prodigal son, your prodigal daughter, God has a plan. Once more, oh, aren't you glad that he does? Lost though they may be, God has a plan. His name is Jesus. And though they may seem to be utterly lost, listen, he, that being Jesus, oh, he's able to save to the uttermost. Aren't you glad for that, that he is, that he does? Isn't that what he did for you? Aren't there some former prodigals among us, once wallowing in the pigsty and stink of sin? Didn't he find you there and save you from there? God's plan, from Abraham, a people, a nation, out of the nation, from the people, a Savior, one through whom the whole world would be blessed. Years of waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally, an angelic visit to Mary. Oh, highly favored Mary. The Holy Spirit is about to come on you. The power of the Most High to overshadow you. And you will give birth to a son. God's plan. You will give him the name Jesus because he will be the Savior. God's plan. He will save his people. He will save all people from their sin. God's plan. He will be great, the Son of the Most High God, and his rule and his reign. His kingdom will never end. God's plan. From the stable in Bethlehem to the cross at Calvary, where the serpent's head is crushed, to the empty garden tomb where the victory over sin's ultimate curse of death is won. What a plan. What a good plan. Perfect. Of course it is, because it's his plan. He's good, and what he does is good. What he plans, how he plans, the fulfillment of his plans, all good. His plan for man's sin and for man's rebellion and man's separation from God. His plan is Jesus. And don't you know, oh, how good Jesus is. Creation, salvation. And consider as well this morning God's plan related to redemption. Even really, in fact, the redemption of all things. It moves us to the end, the ultimate culmination, if you will, of God's plan. Ultimately this, all of Israel, God's people, once again, turning to him, calling on the one whom they pierced, shouting their praise, Hosanna, blessed is he. It's Jesus ruling and reigning over this earth for 1,000 years. Us ruling and reigning with him. It's the devil and all his angels thrown into hell for now all eternity. And finally, it's a new heaven and a new earth. The dwelling of God with men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. No need for sun, no need for the moon at night, for the glory of the Lord and the Lamb will be the light. Every tear wiped away. No more death. No more sorrow or mourning. No more crying or pain. Nothing impure. Nothing shameful. Nothing deceitful. The old things gone. No more the curse. Everything made new. Everything finally, once and for all eternity, redeemed. What a plan. What a good plan. Perfect. Of course it is, because it's his plan. He's good, and what he does is good. What he plans, how he plans, the fulfillment of his plans, all good. Israel saved, the people of God, once again, the people of God, the devil gone, Jesus ruling and reigning, a new heaven, a new earth for all eternity. Wow, how good his plan. And considering it, aren't we inclined to echo the words of John this morning? Revelation 22 and verse 20. He who testifies to these things, that's Jesus. Listen, this is what Jesus says. Yes, I am coming soon. And in response to that, the great news, the best news, the most encouraging news you could ever hear, we say, yes, amen, so be it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Creation, salvation, redemption, and finally this morning, God's plan for proclamation. God had a plan. His plan was for Israel. In Isaiah 49 and verse 6, this is the plan. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Israel was never meant to simply hold and sort of keep for themselves the glory of the Lord. They were to share that glory, spread that glory over all the earth. Israel was never meant to be the people of God in some sort of exclusive kind of context. They were to be the light that brought salvation to the ends of the earth. They were to be saved, as it were, given a place in God's kingdom, not simply for themselves, but so that through them, through their story, through their testimony, the goodness of God, the blessing of God would be manifested in them and on them. They would be the light, and they, by being the light, would draw then all the world to Him, to their God. They weren't to simply find their own place in His kingdom. They were to advance His kingdom over all the earth. Can I remind you that God, He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in John 3:16, for God so loved Israel that He sent His Son? No. Listen, God loves the world. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God loved the world. In Revelation 22, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, God loves the world. From beginning to end, He's the same. God loved and loves, and because He does, always His plan has been. It's not a New Testament thing. It's from beginning to end. Always His plan has been that none perish, that all are saved. Israel rebelled against God, held the title of His people, but rejected Him to serve other gods that were no gods at all. They weren't the light. Instead, really, they became part of the darkness. At the conclusion of Jesus' life and ministry, God has a plan. Not through a nation, not through Israel, but through His disciples. And really, even better to say, through His church that would consist of His disciples, His followers. In Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Listen, always it has been God's plan to have a people, His people, proclaiming His salvation, His love, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, His blessing, His way, His will, His commandments. Always His plan to always have a people advancing His kingdom over all the earth. Always His plan, because always He has loved all the world. Always His plan, because always He has had a plan for heaven. Revelation chapter 5, and they in heaven sang a new song to the Lamb. You are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, from every language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. In Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They all fell down on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Israel, His disciples, His New Testament church. And that brings us this morning to the message within the message. The real message, if you will. The missions message. Here. Today. For this community. For this lost and sin-stricken world. Listen. You are His plan. The story is told, an imaginary account of Jesus' return to heaven after His ascension. As the angel Gabriel greets Jesus, he asks, "Master, you died for the world, did you not?" To which the Lord replies, "Yes." "You must have suffered much," the angel says. And again, Jesus answers, "Yes." "Do they all know that you died for them?" Gabriel continues, "No. Only a few in Israel know about it so far," Jesus says. "Well, then what's your plan for telling the rest of the world that you shed your blood for them?" Jesus responds, "Well, I asked Peter, James, John, and Andrew, a few others, if they would make it the business of their lives to tell others. And then the ones that they tell could tell others still, and they in turn could still tell others, and finally it would reach the farthest corner of the earth, and all would know the thrill and power of the gospel." Then the ultimate question: "But suppose Peter fails? Suppose after a while John doesn't tell anyone? What if James and Andrew are ashamed or afraid? Then what?" Gabriel asks. Can I personalize that this morning? But suppose Denny fails? Suppose after a while, because Denny's just comfortable in church with like-minded believers, wants to escape the sin-stricken world, wants to have no part in it. It's so messy out there after all. What if Denny, after a while, doesn't tell anyone? And what if Denny, because he's too concerned about being liked, not saying anything that's going to rile people up, be offensive in any way, what if Denny becomes too ashamed or afraid? What if new life, after a while, doesn't tell anyone? What if new life, after a while, fails? What if new life, after a while, becomes too afraid, too ashamed? Jesus, then what? Jesus is said to have answered, I have no other plan. I am counting entirely on them. You are his plan. I am, listen to me, new life, we are his plan. Listen to me. We don't change the message now, so you know what's coming. What a plan. What a good plan. What a perfect plan. Of course it is, because it's his plan. He's good, and what he does is good. What he plans, how he plans, the fulfillment of his plans, all good. That's you. You are his plan, his good and perfect proclamation plan. So go. Don't keep quiet. When you go, wherever you go, to anyone, to everyone, you share with them all you've heard, all you know, all you've seen, all you've experienced. You share with them the wonder and the wonderful Jesus. Go and tell people about him. Go and love people. One writes this, love is the best way to reveal Christ to a loveless world. Through an unexpected act of love, you can show others whom you follow. Entertain strangers, feed the poor and hungry, clothe the poor and cold. Visit, show compassion to the orphan, to the widow in their distress. Bear one another's burdens, do good to those who hate you. Billy Graham said it this way, true love is an act of the will, a conscious decision to do what is best for the other person instead of ourselves. Do that. Even at the expense of what's best for you, do what's best for another. Love people. Serve people. Reach out to people. Go and give so others can go. Pray for them in their going. Can I ask you, at this point, you begin to consider, what will I give? I'm the plan. What will I give? This moment is when you begin to consider, how will I pray? How will I pray for that high school? How will I pray for that middle school? How will I pray for our missionaries? How will I pray for Dearborn? How will I pray for the University of Michigan campus in Ann Arbor? How will I pray for all the countries throughout Africa? How will I pray for China? How will I pray for countries throughout South America? How will I pray for a cold and darkened Europe? This is the moment. I'm the plan. Will I go? Will I give? Will I pray? Listen, do all you can do. You are his plan, after all. Have this heart, this one man's response to the Lord, in light of the grace and the mercy, the salvation that he had received from him. Overwhelmed by it, this is the man's response. My answer is yes. Now, Lord, what's the question? Out there, my answer is yes, Lord. Now, what's the question? Tell me where. Tell me who. We pray in line with Isaiah. We have Isaiah's heart. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. One writes this, Isaiah's response was bold. Send me. Anywhere, anytime, I'll sign my name to a blank contract of availability. God, you just fill in the details. Use me. My life is completely yours. May your will become my will. Your plan, my plan. God, send me. I'm not asking for details. I don't need to know where or when or what will happen. I don't need to know the benefits or if it'll be easy or if I'll enjoy it because of who you are. My God, my King, my Savior, I trust you because you are sovereign over the universe. I surrender my will to you. Every part of me. Take my mind, my eyes, my mouth, my ears, my heart, my hands, and my feet, and guide me toward your will. I trust you. God, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? The invitation of the author in the end, pray the dangerous prayer. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. You are his plan. And I leave you with this, lest you think that problematic. Remember, what a plan. What a good plan. Perfect. Of course it is. Because it's his plan. He's good and what he does is good. What he plans, how he plans, the fulfillment of his plans, all good. Listen to me now. It's true. You are his good and perfect proclamation plan. Unless you're still not convinced, not to worry. Because truth be told, his plan is not just you. It's a spirit-empowered you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Don't give up on God's plan. Don't forsake God's plan. Instead, do this. Pray for the unceasing, surging, filling, overflowing provision of the Holy Spirit today. Pray for his fullness and let God's provision by way of his Spirit flood then into your heart. One author says this, you have God's Spirit to help you. And God's plan is reduced to really just one strategy. Ordinary folks telling the extraordinary story of Jesus with the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit. The promise of Pentecost, the Spirit turns the common folk into uncommon forces and turns those who are lost into those who are saved. Wow, what a plan, what a good and perfect plan. Of course it is. It's his plan after all. Listen to me this morning. You are his plan. Father, would you help that to settle in our hearts this morning? And as even right now we begin to consider, Lord, what you would have us to give, how you would have us to pray. Especially this morning as we would begin to consider, Lord, how you would use us right here. The ministries of this church, right here in this community. That we will go and we will tell anyone and everyone all that we know, all that we've heard, all that we've seen, all that we've experienced. We will not keep quiet. We will tell of the wonder and the wonderful Jesus. Lord, would you begin to encourage us, each one in this room? Would you begin to lay it on our hearts? Lord, would you begin to burden us, each one in this room? We're the plan. We can't fail. We can't be afraid. We can't be ashamed. We can't stop telling people about you. We can't stop loving. We can't stop serving. We can't stop doing missions. We can't stop giving by way of the faith promise. We can't stop praying every week for one of our missionary families. We can't because we're the plan. Lord, would you help us this morning? Let that settle in our hearts. Let us be burdened by that. Lord, would you empower us by your Spirit? We say yes. Listen, I want to invite you this morning. I ask it to you by way of a question. Would you say yes? You might not know yet where you're going to go. You might not know yet who you're going to talk to. You might not know yet what God sets up in your life with the neighbor, with the person at work, with the student at school. You might not know yet what He's going to ask you to fill out by way of that faith promise card. You might not know yet the intercessor that He's wanting to make you to be for missionaries, for countries around the world. How He might lay on your heart, how He wants you to be available, calls you to be available so He can lay on your heart that family you don't even know, that country you don't even know where it is, but to be a prayer warrior and stand in the gap for them. You don't even know. I ask it to you as a question. Maybe you're not ready yet. I pray that you would be. Would you say yes? If you're willing to do that, just in your own way, would you verbalize that to Jesus? I say yes. Would you tell Him that in your own way, just quietly? You don't have to speak it out loud. Would you say yes? You're not ready yet, some of you. Would you pray and would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? You get it for creation and you get it for salvation and you get it for redemption, but you're just not convinced that you're the proclamation plan and that's a good plan. You just don't think you're able. You just don't think you're creative enough. You don't think you know enough. Would you let the Holy Spirit come and begin to minister to you today? Would you open up your heart to Him? Would you be honest and authentic? Lord, I just have a lot of questions. I'm not sure I'm the man. I'm not sure I'm the woman. Would you let the Holy Spirit begin to minister and answer some of those questions maybe for you? Jesus, would you minister through this room this morning? I've said it enough. I'm going to say it once more. But Lord, I pray that even rather than my words, it's the voice of Your Spirit that they hear. I can speak this word to their ears. Your Spirit can speak it into their heart. So Holy Spirit, would You do that? Would You anoint and empower this so that supernaturally from the ears it goes into the heart? Listen to me, dear brother. Listen to me, dear sister. You are His plan. Now go. Give and pray. You are His plan after all. Just for a moment, in your own way, would you respond to that? Just spend a minute with Jesus. I wonder, do you dare pray the Isaiah prayer? Here am I, Lord, send me, use me. Give through me. Here am I. Would you pray it? I wonder if you would. This morning, I believe it's the invitation from the Lord to welcome us. This is a new opportunity. It is a new adventure. There's open doors ready for us. More than we've ever done before. More than we've ever given before. The Lord invites us into that. If we'll commit to this, here am I. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. Would you personalize it to your life? For my family, Jesus, I pray that my family gets saved, and I pray that you send someone, and I pray that someone talks to my son, and someone talks to my daughter. Would you personalize it? Here am I. Use me. Would you personalize it for your work? You know people at work that don't know Jesus. Would you personalize it? Lord, here am I. Use me, send me. Would you pray it for this community? We're right here in Flushing. We're not praying, Lord, for more churches. Would be great, but that's not what we pray for this morning. We say, Lord, here am I. Here's new life. Use us. Use us. Work through us to save the lost in this community of ours. Make it personal to your circle of relationships. to your family, to your friends, to your workplace, to your school. Lord, use me. Use me. Empower me by your Spirit. Even as we hear it being played, just before we finish, would you just invite the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on you, to empower you. Come on, would you just, maybe just lift your hands, would you just lift your voice? Holy Spirit, how I need your power. How I need the boldness that only you can give, the words that you give that make all the difference. Holy Spirit, fall fresh. Come on, would you pray it for this church? Holy Spirit, fall fresh. This is what we need so that we can do more for the kingdom of God, so that we can do more for missions, so that we can send more missionaries. We need the Spirit of God to fall fresh on this place. This is what we need so we can make a difference to kids in that high school, so we can make a difference to business owners on Main Street, so we can make a difference to the neighbor across the street. We don't need just better programs. We don't need just fancier, nicer stuff. We need the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. Would you pray that? Would you invite him to do that? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. We pray. Fall fresh on us, we pray. And remind us, in any situation, in the big thing, in the little thing, God's plan is good, perfect. Remind us of that, Lord, when it's your desire to use us. We are your plan, and that's a good plan. You can use us mightily. You can work through us powerfully. We believe that. We accept and receive that this morning. And we thank you for that word that will help us to do more for your kingdom than we've ever done. I believe it, and I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray the Lord's blessing over you. We began this morning, the start of the message, I invited you to say amen. His plan is good, perfect, and you say amen. Now, you are his plan, and to that you say, it's true, we are. Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing? As high priest of this assembly, under shepherd of the great shepherd, I declare it over you on the authority of his word. On the authority of his word, I speak it, I declare it so that it would be true. It must be true. It's his word. In obedience to his commandment, to pronounce blessing on his people. In obedience to that, I declare over you the blessing of the Lord so that it might be yours. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, receive that blessing. Would you say amen? Amen and amen.